This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
This is A Gargoyle.
Mm-hmm.
Voiced by Jonathan Frakes.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Pretty much gargoyle-flavored gargoyles.
Yep.
Gargoyles in this thread.
Even gargoyles are not the gargoyle-y enough, because there are margoyles, which are somehow more stone.
Morgoyles. I thought this was based on the entry where it says gargoyle and margoyle. I was like, okay, the margoyles are the underwater ones.
Mm-hmm.
But those are capocynths.
Capoacynths.
Capoacynths, which is not even, that doesn't get stats.
No. It's literally a gargoyle that, I guess, once adorned sea elf places. But that doesn't make any sense, because they didn't have any gutters to run off. Physics, please, people. No, but they just swim instead of fly. Like, just treat it the same, except they can swim.
And the question isn't, like, why doesn't that get its own stat block? The question is, why does every other single water-based variation get its own stat block in the book?
So it's getting short shrift is what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's crazy about this, too, is we're going to get another gargoyle. There are two gargoyles in this book. Because when you get to the golem, like, there's a specialized golem type that is a gargoyle, which is separate and distinct from this actual biological creature, which maybe at some point went back to, like, an evil wizard who sneezed during entering an incantation and turned two of these into living creatures, and they flew off and started boning down so right, and then they became mimics.
It's really weird. The origin of these things is the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Was like if you are a wizard and you bring something inanimate to life, it can form its own species.
Right.
So in the Sorcerer's Apprentice or whatever, there's like brooms, and they're just living brooms. Like, they didn't used to be, or in Fantasia, Sorcerer's Apprentice is the name. Yeah, in Fantasia, like, they're just living brooms because Mickey Mouse brought brooms to life.
Yeah,
those brooms boned down, and now we have brooms. You know.
So, you know, just picture it's delivery day. I said Labor Day, which is weird, but you know, it's the big day, and you know, the father broom is pacing left and right and left and right, and out comes the doctor, and he's holding in his, he doesn't have arms, but he looks upon his child and sees, god damn it, it's half mop.
Yeah. It's like a Perry Bible Fellowship comic.
Yep.
Like a specific one.
Yeah.
Like
a screwdriver.
Yeah. I imagine the doctor broom in this case would just sweep the baby along.
Oh yeah.
And it would just like roll around on the ground until it learned to like perambulate and stuff.
Do you think they would fly around on mannequins like they were broomsticks?
Oh man. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
the magically talented ones would do that.
Yeah, that's how you tell their ecology. We skip the B section in this book. Get to the brooms. How much would you pay, Cole, to watch? Like, let's say, okay,
they exist. They're called Roombas. If you were going to say like a magic thing that sweeps your house for you, like, it's like $300.
I know. I know about Roombas. Let's say you're walking down the street, and you have nowhere in particular to go. And like the guy from Lost Highway comes out of an alley, like, it's
Robert
clearly
Blake's
like
character.
Yeah. He looks like a human, but like there's something clearly going on.
Yeah.
And and he says, like, you know, I've got the opportunity of a lifetime. How much would you pay to watch two brooms fuck? And there's no opportunity for follow-up questions. It's just like, that's what it is. You don't know exactly what you're getting into. How much would you pay to watch two brooms fuck?
Okay.
Like, well, wow. Where would you be at? Wow. I know it's a hard question. I didn't know an answer either.
Well, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any way that it could go wrong. And you can't ask any follow-up questions. I can't even say, like, if I lowball him, you know, will I end up, like, will he turn me into one of the brooms, right?
Sure, for sure. And you can probably ask questions, but he's just going to smile enigmatically.
Right. He's going to smile, not blinking, no eyebrows, kabuki makeup, whole thing. Eventually shoot lightning at you. That is such a fucked up movie. I love it. I would say, I it's a once in a lifetime thing. I would pay $98.
I would do whatever I had, like, I could spare, probably. Like, especially if I had it in my pocket, like, it was like I had like $30 in my pocket for some reason, I would definitely be like, here you go. let's go do it. And then just, I'm imagining, like, take you down this alley into this, you know, little clearing, and all the other people he'd gathered, you know, or like they were here all the time, you know, like they come to this regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You walk around, they mark your shoulder with a piece of chalk so they know that you're new.
And then as you're watching this, it's, wow, that's weird. The mysterious figure walks up and whispers in. It's weird that they have that band playing it just in the Hall of the Mountain King. It's not even a band, it's just one guy on tuba.
Yeah.
And then the animatic figure just walks up and goes, Dick Laurent is swept. And it's cyclical, it ends as it begins.
Yeah. I would feel comfortable spending $30 for that.
Yeah. Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.